Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome again. Let's take our Bibles. We're going to turn to Luke chapter 2 this morning. And it started long ago. I think every year it rolls back just a little bit earlier. I know that probably just a few months from now, you're going to visit your craft store, and those Christmas decorations are going to be rolling out shortly after the Easter decorations come out. You'll go to the big box stores like Lowe's or Home Depot, and you'll find that the Christmas decorations will be out as the merchants are anticipating selling more of those Christmas decorations for the next year or right ahead. It seems like by the time we get them taken down from our house, the stores put them back out for us to buy new ones for the year. Melina asked me a few weeks ago if we could stop over at the Christmas Tree Shop in Greensboro. It was a store that operated 364 days, I guess, a year, selling nothing but Christmas items. And I said, "Oh, babe, didn't you hear? They closed up." And I'm guessing it's just because we get oversaturated with Christmas. Is that the reason why a Christmas store would go out of business? A Christmas store that operates all year long. I know how it works. You go at the first of the year and you buy those discounted items that you put them away for next year. So you're always purchasing your Christmas decorations in advance. And it just seems to be that if we're not careful, we think about Christmas, we get to think, oh, it's that time of year again. Is there anybody that feels that way this morning? Because if you do, shame on you. Because we're right here in the middle of our season. For the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at a series on the gift of Jesus and what God gave us in his precious Son. Something that also accompanies those early placements of those Christmas products is the Christmas music. Now, we have a rule in our house. It used to be a rule, though we don't really talk about it anymore. You can't listen to Christmas music until after Thanksgiving because you don't want to stumble or run over Thanksgiving, right? Anybody feel that way? Christmas music, you've had enough of it. You couldn't take any more of it. You don't want any more Christmas music because it just seems to be that it's the same songs over and over and over again. And I'm not trying to depress you or overwhelm you, but I'll tell you what happens around here. I'll get a message from Elaine about the music that we play in the classrooms, the radio stations, in the classrooms. She'll let me know in the very first of November that the radio stations have started playing Christmas music, so it's time to switch it over. Everybody wants to hear that Christmas music. Everybody loves to listen to Christmas music. Do you love listening to Christmas music? Do you get excited when you hear it on the radio? What is it about the Christmas music that makes the connection with you? Is it the hearing the same old song over and over again? Maybe it's the memories that are connected with those songs and the loved ones that you sang those songs with over the years. Maybe there's just an undercurrent in all of the happiness, there's a little bit of heaviness and sadness because it's a little bit difficult when you think about the loved ones that you don't get to sing with. You know, this morning, this message is for you also, if that's how you feel. I want to look this morning at a passage of Scripture that just bewilders us when we consider the Christmas message. We sang about it all morning long. It's about heaven coming to earth. And as we have grown tired of Christmas music, I can't help but think that the message of the Scriptures, when we open our Bibles in Genesis and we close the Bible at the end of Revelation, that the message of Christmas is there throughout every page of the Scriptures. It is the story of redemption. It is the story of what God is doing and God has done in sending his Son, and what that God is not yet done. He is still working. And the hope and the joy of Christmas isn't that day comes soon enough so that we can take down those decorations and turn off that Christmas music, but rather that you and I in this moment can look at the Scriptures with deep appreciation for the message of Christmas that's woven throughout. So we look to a a particular passage in Psalm 8. I'm just going to show you what I mean by it's throughout the Scriptures. We look to Psalm 8 and we're going to see a passage that certainly sounds a lot like Christmas music, though it doesn't have that Christmas sound. It's a song that as we look at Psalm 8, we see it's a song that is described as being a psalm written around the time of Gedith. There's a little note there in the beginning. We don't normally read those or sing about those, but that phrase, Gedith, it comes from the word that has to do with this song was written about, came from the place of Gath. You know, remember Goliath of Gath? It's a song, actually, that was written after the grape harvest. That's what the word Gath refers to, is the wine press. But if it's referring to what God had done for David in delivering Israel from Goliath of Gath, that makes perfect sense, too, as we look at the text here. It's understood that this is a song that would be sung after the harvest. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, and the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. We read that and you say, I'm not hearing it. It doesn't have those jingle bells that we usually have in the Christmas music. I didn't see anything about the nativity. Well, understand, if the story of the Scriptures is about Jesus and about the wonder and the glory of God, we find yet another Christmas message tucked here in Psalm 8. And as we consider the blessings of the harvest, as we consider all that God has done here, think about that. Think about this. As good as things appear here in Psalm chapter 8, the heavens hold far more glory than you and I can ever see, know, or imagine. Because we have eyes that just are focused right here around us. We have a way of thinking about how good things are going by how our days are going. Did you have a good week this week? Was it good for you? Then you can check that off on your calendar as, this was a good one. A couple weeks ago, not so good. That's how you and I reference. We look down here at the way life is lived out. But if you and I could see far beyond right here and right now, what's going on in this universe that we live in, God's majesty is revealed throughout the heavens above, is what the psalmist sings. There's an important aspect for us to take from as we look up into the heavens. I can only see so far in this room this morning with my glasses on. When I take them off, I can see you, outlines of you, but I can't make you out. So I've got lenses on my eyes that help me see you a little bit clearer. But if you and I were to take a telescope and point it up into the heavens, what would you see when you looked through that telescope? That big caterpillar of your eyebrow or your eyelash that's causing you to focus on that? Or imagine seeing through the lens of that telescope the glories that are out there in the heavens. Something about the outerness of space is it just seems so far away. When you and I think about how big the universe is, our brains aren't able to comprehend how big this universe that you and I live in, because, I mean, we think about how big Alamance County is. It can take you quite a few minutes to get across town. I am overwhelmed when traffic slows down and I just have to sit at the light. Some mornings when I come into the office, I will hit every stoplight between here and there, and I will see a lot of Alamance County. I'll think to myself, I wish I could just keep going so I don't take time to look at all of this stuff, because this is overwhelming. We're not going anywhere. We're just sitting here, and all of people need to pick up that trash or whatever's happened around here. Something was left out. And as I stop and as I look around here, I start to focus on some weird aspects of my drive in the morning, things that I don't normally think about. When you and I look out into space, is the takeaway that it's just too far away? Have you ever looked into space? Have you ever seen pictures that look like this? Those pictures of space and the stars shining. It just seems to be that it's just so hard to comprehend that beauty exists out there so far away. It just seems to be so far away. But when we look up into the heavens, we also come across the idea that it is just seems to be unreachable, that we would never ever be able to go to those remote places of our universe. Think about our moon, how far away it is. And yet, not all that long ago, we were able to successfully land on the moon. What a triumph of all of our ingenuity, of all of our strength and all of our amazing engineering, that we were able to put people on the moon, not once, several times. And we're talking about going back to the moon. I think about that old statement in that old television program when the husband and wife were arguing and the husband wanted to knock his wife to the moon. He wouldn't need no rocket to get there. And so when you and I look up in the sky, even though it doesn't seem reachable for us, there's a little bit of sense of pride to know that we've been there before. We've got pictures of the moon and it's amazing. But I want you to pause for this moment and consider what is beyond what you and I can see and what you and I can comprehend. Because if you and I look to the reaches of space, if we could see out in the reaches of space, there's a lot of nothingness out there, a lot of hopelessness. But when we look through the lens of a telescope, when we see some of these images, beautiful images, is the takeaway that it's just hopeless, that space is cold and empty and big and vast, or there is a God behind all of this creation? Psalm 8 deals with that question, makes that statement about God's glory being higher than the heavens. And he also asks the question, who is man that thou art mindful of him? Why should I be the one that God takes thought of? What's so special about me? Have you ever had that feeling of loneliness or brokenness? Have you ever felt forgotten? And the psalmist isn't asking the question because he feels forgotten. He's reflecting and seeing God's blessing in his life. Who am I, Lord, that you should take thought of me? One who's been made a little lower than the angels. We have sang this morning and we consider in Luke chapter 2 the visiting of the angels upon the shepherds. I have somebody that asks me when I see him about whether or not you and I die and become angels. No, we don't become angels. We're saints. We get to spend forever with the Lord in heaven, worshiping him when we pass. And that angels are a race of created beings that God uses as messengers. And when we think about us being made a little bit lower than the angels, we've been given a charge here on this earth to take care of this earth. The angels have a role and have a responsibility, and man has responsibilities that he fulfills here, and yet we are still under God. And the angels are under God. And the takeaway in Psalm 8 is, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Where is the Christmas message in that? Where is the song of Christmas there? Have you ever felt that your problems were just too big? Have you ever felt that you were just too broken? Well, there is a Christmas song for that too. Psalm 8, as we look through the scriptures, the purpose of Christmas is not the story of a little baby that was born and that's the end of the story. It's the story that begins with the arrival of mankind's hope, Jesus. So this morning, the song that I encourage you to sing in your heart is the song of looking up, because God dwells in heaven. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to join our hearts together around the scriptures. Lord, I thank you for these next few weeks as we look at the beautiful gift of your Savior. And we're not going to plumb the depths or exhaust the depths, the great worth and the great value that we have in your Son, Jesus. But Lord, I just pray that this morning you'd give us just a little glimpse of your glory, that we would see your goodness. And Father, as our lives are busy and there's a lot of hustle and bustle that we have to do during this time of year, trying to pull everything together, I pray, Lord, that you would use this time to give us the pause to reflect on what really matters, to see the ones who really matter. And I pray, Lord, that in doing so, we would see you. Give us the grace, Lord, to look up, to see you and appreciate you. Give the glory to you. We ask these things in your name. Amen. So the gift of Jesus that I want to talk about this morning is the gift of heaven. And I know when you and I consider heaven, we think about how wonderful it's going to be. This morning, we're not going to look at the descriptions of heaven, the precious stones and materials that make up heaven, or its vast size, or the loved ones that we know of that are there. Because this morning, we are going to look at the gift of heaven as far as it is the habitation of God himself. And when we consider the gift that Jesus gives us as heaven, it's a far greater gift than you could ever imagine. A few moments ago, I asked you to turn to Luke chapter 2, and that time is here. We're going to look down at verses 8 through 15, looking at the night that the angels appear when the baby came. Luke chapter 2, verse 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." What a moment that must have been, and what a message was announced. What was the focus for you as we read through that? What's the takeaway that you see in that message? The arrival? It starts out with the proclamation of glory to God in the highest. There is something that has happened, and it's not just because it happened, because if it should have tarried, glory to God in the highest is the expectation, and it is the response of creation towards our Creator. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. Starts off with the glory belonging to God. The benefit trickles down here with peace on earth. And how I long for peace. How I long for quietness in my life. I don't know how crazy your life seems to be at times, but the peace that we see here mentioned, and I know following Jesus does not necessarily mean that you're going to have an easy life or that you're going to have a quiet life, but the peace that comes with the arrival of the baby is unparalleled. It is God's goodwill toward men. What a message and what a delivery. As you've got neighbors, no doubt, who have pulled out the stops and put out Christmas decorations this year, it amazes me every year. There's a house not too far down the road from me. People will drive and wait in a long line just to look at this one house. I can only imagine what the neighbors think. You can tune your radio in and listen to Christmas music that is coming just from that house. It is amazing. All of the lights and all of the display and all of the dollars that were spent in putting on this display. And I see that to myself and I think, you know what, I don't do that. I don't make such a big fuss about all the decorations. The angels that night have made an announcement that makes all of the light displays that you have ever seen pale in comparison. But the messengers that appeared that night were not greater than the message that they delivered. That there was a heavenly host that makes that announcement was not the important takeaway from the announcement. It was the message that they brought that was greater far than anyone would realize. It was the birth of the King that was the important news. And yet, such a grand display for such an unworthy few. Think about it. Angels appear to a group of shepherds sitting in the field watching their flocks by night. It's not the way you think to announce a king. It's not the amazing announcement that you would imagine when the heavenly host appears and astonishes those shepherds. And yet, God pulled out the stops to make the announcement of the arrival of his son, and the shepherds in obedience go and see. And what they find is more than a baby boy. In Luke chapter 2, verse 11, the angel make that declaration, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." That statement, Savior, Christ, we're talking about deliverer, the Messiah, the one that Israel has been looking for. But this is not just any deliverer. It's there in the proclamation. It's there in the announcement. Christ, say it with me, the Lord. This is God Himself in the flesh arriving. Unlike any other time in human history, the night that Jesus arrived was a big deal in our history and the story of this planet. For God Himself came from glory to dwell among us. So it makes sense that the news came by way of the heavens, because only God is higher than the heavens. And that the angels appearing that night in the heavens, telling the shepherds the news of the baby's birth, they're announcing the gift heaven come to this earth. So what's the big deal about the gift of heaven? Oh, what could we could say? But we consider that in heaven, as scriptures tell us, God dwells in heaven above. Isaiah 66, verses 1 and 2. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is thy throne, and the earth is thy footstool. Where is the house that ye build upon unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man I will look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. God's throne is heaven, and the earth is his footstool. And I want to tell you, there's some amazing sights that we can see. This year's calendar that we have for you, it's in black and white, but I think it's clear to see the beauty and the unparalleled beauty of God's creation, regardless of colors. God has made some amazing places. He has shown us himself in this creation. And yet, when you and I look up and when you and I consider that heaven is his throne, as good as it is here, when we look to heaven, it just reveals to us how broken we are. Because we think that life is pretty good here from time to time. We can't even imagine or fathom what it is like to be in his presence, to be in his throne room, nor should we have the right to, because we are not like him. He's so far above us. He's so high. He's so holy. The glory of heaven reveals how broken we are. You and I, the only way we're going to exist in outer space, the only way we survive in outer space, is if we've got the right kind of suit on and the right kind of transportation. We are limited to where we can go. We will run out of time out trying to plumb the depths of space. And yet, this is where God's throne is. And yet, God looks down and sees our needs. As we consider that the gift of heaven is where God dwells, it's a reminder to look up, because the way out is up. When you and I look up and see how empty and how vast space is, it can lead to an overwhelming sense, a sense of just loneliness and emptiness. Maybe you feel that way today. I don't think so. I think I see smiling faces and hearts that are warm, that know that the way out is up, not out of your own mess, but that someone delivered you. You know, if you've ever found yourself in a body of water where you were drowning, where's the way out? To swim down deeper, to go down deeper into the water, to plant your feet down in the miry clay of the mud and hope that someone comes and pulls you out? Or are you going to fight with everything you can to get your head above water? Not knowing that the only way that you can escape is if someone pulls you out. I've had that happen to me once as a young man. I was at a swimming pool and I had a flotation device on. Jumped in the swimming pool. I decided, you know what, I probably am a good enough swimmer at the age 4. I will disconnect my swimming apparatus. It was a big piece of styrofoam that was belted to my back. I took it off and I was finally free of that contraption. And in that moment of freedom, I found myself sinking. And as I began to go down, I tried to get up, but I didn't know what to do. My survival instinct kicked in. I paddled up to the top and tried to get my head above water, but I took in a mouthful of water and I went down again. My uncle, who was there, dives into the pool fully clothed and pulls me out. They jerked me out of the water and I was saved, but I got the worst whooping I had ever had in my life. They saved my life and then they beat me within an inch of my life, I thought. Or at 4 years old, I would think that would have been the worst one. But no, there are more to come, but that's a for different story, different day. It is coming up out of the water. It is coming up that we find hope. And you know what? When we consider the vastness and the limitlessness of space, we also see and consider the vastness and the limitlessness of God's glory and what God can do. We don't worship creation. We worship the Creator. So don't be afraid. Look up and see his glory. The gift of heaven is where God dwells. And the gift of heaven is knowing that Jesus came from heaven. And that God came with a specific mission. In John chapter 1, the prologue, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Referring to Jesus. The same was in the beginning With God, Jesus always is, always has been, always will be. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And Jesus is far greater than heaven. Jesus is far greater than anything created. So when we look to heaven, we look to heaven with the anticipation and the waiting of what's going to be there for me when I get there. Jesus came down from heaven. Must have been hard for him to make that journey, considering the glory of the Father is there. And you and I, we get so excited thinking about heaven, and yet I want to remind you that Jesus left heaven to come down for our redemption, which tells us a couple of things. Number one, that he came to bring the kingdom of heaven down to earth. God wanted to do something for this planet, and he did something through this planet in Jesus. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. After this manner, Jesus, teaching his disciples to pray, says, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." See it there? How glorious and how hallowed, how holy is God and his name. "Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And we pray for the glory of heaven to be made reality here on earth. But if the goal was to transform this planet into heaven, why would heaven even need to exist? Jesus brings the reality of heaven in the midst of the misery of this earth. And that his plan that he has for us defies our expectations. His kingdom coming to this earth has far more implications than we consider. When you and I receive a gift on that morning, that just a few weeks from now, as we open it up, and I know, has anybody asked you what you want? It's one of those great problems that we have. Getting past our tiredness of the Christmas music, trying to figure out what it is that we're going to ask for. And then you get that item that you ask for, and then you are so happy with it, and yet it kind of fades away. Your closets, your storage areas are probably filled with gifts that you received, that you found a little bit of enjoyment from, but they've either broken or you just don't have a use for them anymore, and you've put them away. The gift that Jesus brings to us of heaven, it defies our expectations, and you and I can only imagine how wonderful and how great it is. And it doesn't mean that we shouldn't try to make this place a better place by building heaven here. Jesus didn't come to build a scale model of heaven for you and I to live in. He came to give us redemption. And he'll take us to heaven. And I know a lot of times our mind goes there and longs for heaven. But remember, the glories of heaven pale in comparison to the glories of our Creator. We look ahead for a longing with heaven, thinking that, you know what, my problems are great. My problems are big and overwhelming. But I want to remind you that in Jesus there is hope greater than here and right now. That this is not as good as it gets. You may not be in a difficult place right now. You may be in a difficult place. And I want to remind you that this is not the end of the story for believers. There is a hope that is waiting in heaven, greater than here and now. Jesus came from heaven to bring his kingdom to the earth, not to build a scale model or a replica or a theme park for us to enjoy, but to provide deliverance and redemption. So look up for hope. And then lastly, the gift of heaven, the place where Jesus, or where God dwells, the place where Jesus came from, is the very place that Jesus invites me to. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, very familiar passage. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Say this with me, the promise of the redeemed. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Say it with me, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus made the way possible for the broken one to join him in heaven. That night that the angels appeared and make the announcement that the Deliverer, the Savior, Christ the Lord, has arrived, was a big night, even though it was witnessed by an unworthy few. The glories of heaven could not clearly tell the story of what Jesus was going to go on to do. It was there in the word Savior. It's there in the word Lord. But until we look to the cross, we do not see the beautiful announcement lived out, played out, and fulfilled about the arrival of the Son. The glory of Christmas is the arrival of Jesus. The glory of Christmas is the ugliness of the cross that he went to for you and for me to make our redemption possible. It's only something that the broken one sees. The Pharisees couldn't see it throughout the Gospels. They had it all figured out. They didn't need Jesus. They wanted him off the scene. But until you see him as creator, you will not see him as one that you're accountable to. And until you see him as one that you're accountable to, you won't see your sin. And as long as you don't see your sin, you will never see him as your Savior. Jesus made possible through his death on the cross, made it possible for the broken one to join him in heaven. Not through working, but through believing. Not by being good, but simply trusting he did this for me. See, the heaven that came here, the glories of heaven where God dwells and Jesus came down from and brings to this earth, is now possible, and redemption story is playing out, and the reality is that you and I can have what's up there down here right now. We may not experience all the grandeur and the glories of heaven and its wonderful building materials, but that individual personal relationship with the Savior, Christ the Lord. I don't know about you, but my life could certainly use a whole lot more of what's up there, down here, right now. Because whenever I look just right here, right now, in the storms that are raging, I understand that later today there might be some storms that pass through and bring some trouble for us. And we focus on that. But I want to remind you this morning that there's a God who's above all of that, who looks down from the glories of heaven, who sent his Son Jesus from the glories of heaven to give you and I hope right here, right now. And then as long as you and I are looking right here, right now, we'll miss out on all that joy, on all that glory, on all that hope of what's up there. The good news: for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, is that there is an invitation to look up for grace. Wait a minute. The last hour has sounded like the same songs that we sing every year. It sounds like the same message that we hear about how we need Jesus, about how Jesus is our only way, our only hope, and that Jesus, there is something about Jesus. You're absolutely right, because it's the story that we find in the scriptures from cover to cover. Jesus is the one that we gather in the gift that God had sent. He's the one that we gather in his name. He's the one that God has sent. And when you and I consider the gift of heaven that he gives us, we're not thinking in terms of building materials. We're thinking in terms of the one who inhabits the heavens. Jesus is the gift of heaven and the good news that came that night to those shepherds is a message that rewires, that recalibrates, that refocuses our attention. May we never ever get tired of hearing the song of the redeemed, of hearing the song of the Savior who gave his life for sinners like you and me. The big idea that we had this morning is heaven is a far greater gift than you think. It's the place where God dwells, the place where Jesus came from, and the place that Jesus invites us to. Whew. Amazing. As we look, as we're working through the book of Revelation on our Wednesday night services, and we'll ultimately look at the glories of heaven, I can tell you right here and right now that you don't have to wait till we get to the end of the book of Revelation to know about how wonderful heaven is. Because it is his kingdom on earth. And he's working, and he's going to come back and bring his kingdom when he comes again. But today we are focusing on enjoying and experiencing the glory and the goodness of what he has done in the story of his arrival. Heaven is a far greater gift than you think, so don't discount it. The question that we've been asking through our series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit is the same question that we ask as we look at the gift of Jesus. Am I following my own will? Am I living life in my own strength? Am I only looking right here and consumed about my life right here? Or am I thinking about the one who deserves my attention, the one who's above me, the one who's greater than me? Am I following him? And if not, I simply surrender to him. May this be our prayer this morning. Jesus, may I never tire of hearing your great news for me. The first gift that we unwrap this morning is the gift of heaven. And we haven't even opened it yet.